In a world of rulers, grids, and pixels where creativity knows no bounds, we champion the rebels, the dreamers, and the innovators, the ones who didn't wait for permission but forged their own path in design. I'm Joanna, your fellow self-taught designer and founder of Savvy Chic Design, and this is the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. Dive with us into the story of audacity, grit, and imagination from designers who made it on their own terms. So grab your tools, ignite that spark, and let's dive into the world where every line, curve, and pixel tells a story. Hey, self-taught designers, welcome to another episode here at the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. I am so excited to actually have this conversation. Our very first male guest expert. I love it. I love it so much. So our guest is entrepreneurs Kalen Hubbard and his wife, Jessica, own four of their own businesses, are real estate investors and enjoying co-raising one future entrepreneur at home. With all of this enterprises and life happenings taking place, Kalen still holds tied to the belief that with the right intention and tools, he and Jessica, as well as anyone else, can prosper in both business and in relationships. After establishing a successful real estate career alongside his wife, this former teacher turned real estate entrepreneur is now empowering others to master the world of business and life. Because, yep, it can be a roller coaster, right? Kalen gives fellow business owners with perspectives and tools to help them build and protect and grow their own entrepreneurship with intentionality and clear vision. When he is not on stage or in one of his workshops, you can find Kalen outside enjoying nature, hanging out with good friends and family around a campfire. I've never been into camping, actually, but or catching some sports on TV with his wife. Kalen, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here. There's a lot of pressure with being the first male on your show. I mean, that's a thing. That's a thing. So I hope I represent well and don't mess this up.
Oh, and I know there are going to be more, but I'm so happy to have you and have this conversation, especially with entrepreneurs, right? Business and relationship. It can sometimes be overwhelming for somebody who's trying to navigate, especially our self-taught designers, trying to make their business, creative business, a success and still managing a relationship behind the scene. But before we dive into this conversation, I'd love to learn more about your story, how this all came about.
Yeah, I grew up in a very non-entrepreneur family. My mom and dad are both retired teachers, public school teachers. My sister's a teacher. I was a teacher. I just grew up in that environment. And a lot of the folks in my family also worked for other people. Not very many of them were entrepreneurs or small business owners. And so then I marry my wife, Jessica, best decision ever. And I marry into her and her family. And she comes from a very entrepreneur minded family. A lot of people work for themselves. They own their own companies, own their own businesses of some sort. And when we dated, we started dating in May. I proposed in July. We married in September. So boom.
That was fast. Yes.
Yeah. We didn't live in the same city. We lived 2 hours away. And then next thing you know, I live with this person that sees the world through this very entrepreneurial mind that she has. And I see it in this way. And we very quickly realized that we see some things very differently. We saw time at home, time at work, vacation, money, all these things. We just put very different values on them. And we saw them as very different tools in our worlds and different things. It was definitely some adjustments were being had very quickly. And then fast forward into, 4 years later, I get out of teaching and I join her in the real estate world. She was already in real estate and then I joined her. I'm very proud to say I'm one of the few guys I can say I was hired by my wife. And so I worked for her. She was our CEO and our broker. And I was in charge of listings. And so I had my niche in the company and she ran the company. And then, but all of a sudden we're both in this very entrepreneur world and real estate agents, they run their own company a lot of times. And it's very much a working for profits, not for salaries. If you don't sell, you don't eat type of world that I never, ever saw myself being in. Now, fast forward to now. And yeah, we own a few companies. We're all into the own your own business mindset and approach to life and retirement, things like that. So we've gone through a lot of different changes into how we see things, how we communicate, how we approach struggles, different things like that. And it's just different for business owners. I really do believe that for lack of better term for it, two W-2 employees, two people that work for a company, when they're married, their marriage is very different than a marriage that at least one person has a business owner. And that's what I call an entrepreneur marriage. An entrepreneur marriage is a marriage that has one or more business owners in it. And it's just a different marriage. Nothing wrong with either one, but they just have different problems, different situations, and different conversations. So that's how we went from there to here.
That's awesome. And I know that we have a lot of our listeners, especially during the pandemic, right? Wherein there are a lot, either spouses ending up just starting their own business. And then when something happened again, some went back to the workplace as the regular, the 9-to-5 jobs, and some are building their own dreams, right? And sometimes it's just so hard. Just you've actually mentioned initially, right? We were still like teaching and then your wife was already there. But like, what are some initial challenges that you have having those from a 9-to-5 first and then she owning her own business? Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges during that period.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the challenges go back to the same root of lack of clarity. In the workshops that I teach and in the speaking that I do, a lot of the exercises we do are all revolved around getting clarity on an issue or getting clarity on a big idea or whatnot. One of the more popular ones that the ones I see the most common where people don't have the clarity is just their different roles. And especially if you have, let's say, that 9-to-5 person and this entrepreneur that's out trying to run their own business. This person over there, they're doing it all. They're doing the marketing. They're doing the accounting. They're doing all these things. And this 9-to-5 person, depending on their job, they probably don't have as broad of a view as to all the different things that need to go into building that business. So what this person sees as what the other person does on a day-to-day, probably not very accurate unless they have a really good understanding of that. And then that also, we have those same types of lack of clarity issues in any marriage. And that can be an issue, whether no matter what your job is. One of my favorite exercises that we do in one of the workshops is I give the attendees a big chart of all the different roles in a marriage, whether it be planning vacations, taking care of the cars, taking care of the yard, taking care of kids, taking care of the house, who's in charge of the checkbooks, and all these different roles. And then I separate them and say, okay, each one of you, fill out who you think is in charge of all these things. And they fill them all out and they see where there are discrepancies. Like, and then there's always that couple that's, oh no, I do this. Oh, I do almost all of this. And they see it as very differently. And it just starts those conversations of where they can get clarity on it. And so we do the same thing on, especially, like I said, if you've got that 9-to-5er and you've got that entrepreneur, having them both fill out one of those org charts, an organizational chart on what do we think happens in this business? What is the perception of this 9-to-5 person as to what's going on in this business? And let's get some clarity there so that they both people understand, okay, what's going on a day-to-day basis? What are the goals of the business? Where's this business going? What needs to happen in order for it to take off or to go to the next level, things like that. But a lot of the things we talk about in the workshop is getting clarity and having the right conversations around that.
Yeah, I love that one. We're in clarity, and then conversation basically goes into communication, right? Making sure that you have that dialogue, because sometimes as well, especially as a woman entrepreneur, right? You have your marriage, or if you're married, right? You have kids and everything. You're trying to navigate it, and you just assume maybe your spouse understand what is it that you're doing. And I think that's a key word, we assume, and that's where in let's have a conversation. And when we had our initial talk, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I just assume my husband understand what I'm doing. But then sometimes he acts like as if I can, because I'm free, right? I control my own time, and said, oh, let's go there. No, I cannot. But I'm still like, treat me like somebody who's still a 9-to-5. I may have the ability to somehow go on vacation anywhere. I can bring whatever it is that I'm doing. But because I did not communicate some of maybe initial boundaries business, that's where it just he feels like me leave him off or I'm not including in. So very communication is very important indeed. Now, one thing that I'd love to discuss as well, because you've mentioned a while ago, like you have like the list of what you do, you know, what you do as a spouse and your spouse as well, and see what it is, and then you communicate as well. Sometimes as a female, we have the burden of household cooking, taking care of things, taking care of a household. And then when we are building this business, like we have that guilt. I don't know if like from a male perspective, but sometimes as a female perspective, I should still need be cooking, but I can't because I'm still like working on this business plan, or I still have clients that is in Australia that I need to do it during maybe after lunch and after dinner, all of this thing. So how do you talk about that when your workshop, like when guilt comes in, maybe on a female standpoint or even on a male, right? Whoever is doing the entrepreneur and working their way through to have a successful business.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Mom guilt is a real thing. It is a real thing. And it's more than likely a real thing that a lot of males will never fully understand. And we can try to understand it, and we can read about it and learn about it. But until you've really been through that, we're not going to understand. I think part of that's for as a male, that was step one, is to understand I'm not going to understand fully. And I'm going to do my best to understand, but I'm probably not going to understand to the full extent. But on the other side, again, getting some clarity, just starting that conversation is huge. Starting that conversation with your spouse, whether that's, hey, this is what I want my business to do and to look like, and I want to be able to dedicate here, because whether that's because, okay, this is the way we've always done it, or this is the way it is assumed it should be done. I feel like I'm supposed to have all of these other things taken care of, the kids, the cooking, the cleaning, all these other things. These two aren't going to work as we are going right now. Let's talk about how these two worlds can collide and really start breaking down, like you said, those assumptions. When we start assuming that this person will do that task, that's a dangerous zone to be in. That's a real dangerous zone to be in. And a big part about that's worked well for Jessica and I is we are big on different personality tests, strengths tests. If you're familiar with the 6 working geniuses, the DISC assessment, all these things are out there. We are personality test junkies. And there's even ones to find your strengths. There's ones to find your weaknesses and things. The more we understand where we're strong and where we're strong and where we have frustrations, the better we can look at all of these tasks and all these things and say, okay, this really, I should be doing this. You should like in our house, I do most of the cooking and I do almost all of the laundry. That's my thing. A, I like it. B, she absolutely despises it. And it feeds into, at the end of the day, I need some accomplishment. So when I need to, like, I've had a long day, I know I need a win before the end of the day, I'll go do 2 loads of laundry. I know I can do it. I know I have full control over it. I'm not depending on somebody picking up the phone when I call them. I'm not depending on them making a decision. I know I can go and I can do that thing. So it feeds me. There's no part about laundry that feeds Jessica. She does not like it. So why would we put her through that? Because she's a female? It just doesn't make sense. But you back up years before, we probably had her in that role just because maybe it was the way I was raised or she was raised. And then we looked at that and said, this is dumb. But the big point there is we had a conversation about it and we were open to different ideas.
Yes.
I would say there's a lot of any conversation. We always say in the class, any new conversation is a good conversation. Mm-hmm. At least just have the conversation. If it starts to go in a bad way, you can shut it down. But just having a new conversation is a plus. Mm-hmm. And so if it's about traditional roles at home, then that's what it's going to be about.
I love that one. And it still boils down to conversation. And I have to admit, there was a time that I had to go and talk to my husband and said, you know what, I actually feel, because my husband also enjoys cooking, right? He enjoys that. It's like his love language, like cooking, sometimes also helping me with laundry. And there's a part of me that I feel so guilty because I should be doing that. And I started to say, hey, are you okay doing that? Is that really okay? Because I feel guilty. And he told me, you don't have to feel guilty. I actually enjoy this one, right? So again, I assume that he was feeling something else in doing those tasks, but he really did enjoy it. Now I can just come in and said, hey, how can I help you? I'm free. How can I help you? How can I be your support? And we always have this sous chef. It's so funny. So he prepares every ingredient. He's okay. Everything is there. And then when I come in, I just cook it like a sous chef and a chef. So right. It even end up like, Kaylin, it even end up like a fun activity for us, right?
Because everything, date night.
Yes, like a date night and everything. Indeed, it's really a conversation, and there will really be a lot of the mom guilt, the wife guilt that comes in. But just like you said, just because of that, a man or your spouse can do things that they also enjoy, not really just putting a lot. So starting that conversation. Now, another thing that I always hear is, for example, for us female entrepreneurs or female business owner, I bet you as well, it's like balance with being a wife, being a mom. I think we had this conversation, right? That even though I work like 9 to 5, right? But then again, I'm in my computer maybe around 8 p.m. because I have an Australian client, right? All of these things and balance. And it's hard, but tell us a little bit about a concept of balance with business and marriage. What are the things that you've noticed? Should it be really strict? Should it be flexible? Or tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think going back to a conversation we had before, was when we're talking about balance, I think balance starts when it's really hard to get back in balance. So when things, you've gotten used to doing things a certain way for 6 months to a year, then to get back in balance is a whole process. So if someone is early on in the building of their business, then they have an advantage of building their business within some balance, meaning you can set things up, whether it be time parameters or time blocking or appointments only at certain time, things like that. If someone is already, they've been doing this for years and they just look around and say, hey, this is not the world I want to live in. This is not the life I want. I'm building this business, but it's turning everything else into a dumpster fire. But yeah, I've got this business going up, but this is in shambles. This is in shambles, whether it's relationship with kids, relationship with a spouse, whatever that is. If that business should fund and facilitate the perfect life. And that's why we build our own business, is because of the life it can give us. If it's not giving us that life, okay, we got to take some assessments here. So then when it comes to, we decide, okay, we've got to make some changes. We've got to establish that balance. That needs to be a very mutual conversation. There's so many times when people are building their business, whether it be they're building their own business or they're taking a huge role in another business, they set big goals, or they, I'm going to take this big job and it's going to do all this great stuff for the family. And they commit to it, or they agree to it. I'm gonna sell this many cars if they're a car salesman. Or, and I was in real estate. We're gonna sell this many houses. Great. But what effect does that goal or those lofty goals? What ripple effect does that have on, you know, a spouse or kids? Great. Yeah, I'm gonna go make $200,000 this year. That means I work 48 weekends a year. That means I never get home before 6:30 in the evening. Did I run that past everybody else that it affects? Do the kids know that's going to happen if I chase these goals? Does my spouse know that's going to happen? And I think a lot of times we hide behind, oh, but I don't say we hide behind. A phrase that gets thrown out there a lot is, but I'm doing it for my family. A, if that's not the world your family wants, then you are giving something to somebody that they don't want. And these are the people that mean the most to you in the whole world. We need to understand what they want as well if we're going to work our tail off to give them something. And so if we're going to do all this, there needs to be a conversation either. And in my opinion, it can go one of two ways as far as like setting up that balance that we talked about, the growth. Okay. I either set this goal or I set this business up with these parameters or routines, whether that's hours or whatnot. I figure out what that ripple effect is for the family. It's going to be this many weekends. It's going to be this time from 8 in the morning till 8 in the evening, whatever that is. And then talk to the family to see if they're okay with that. That can come across as you've already made the decision and now we have to live with it. So that can be a dangerous one. I think a more fun approach and an approach that can get more buy-in is coming to that family and say, hey, let's talk about the world we want to have. Let's talk about how much are you guys okay with me working? How much am I okay with me working? What's my mental load capacity? Maybe I can't do 50 hours a week. Okay. I can do 40. I can do 42. Whatever that is. Okay. Let's build that world outside of work. Okay. Within these parameters, that's the world. Now I've got these parameters. I'm going to work from this time to this time. I'm going to work this week, these weekends or whatever. I'm only going to be away, you know, on travel. For my job, I travel quite a bit. Okay. I'm only going to travel this many times a month. Okay. How awesome can I be within these parameters? Okay. How can I make my time more efficient to chase these goals? How can I get the most out of the hours? I'm working 40 hours, but am I only getting 35 or am I only getting 25 hours of work done? Maybe I need to be more efficient. I'll stay within the parameters that the family and I have agreed to, and I'm going to go kill it over here. Okay. Now I'm working on my business that fits within my family. Not building a business that is wrecking my family. We do different exercises and different things in the workshop that helps people build through those and have those conversations and some checkpoints along the way. So that's part of the workshop.
Yeah, I like that one. And it's so timely as well when everyone is listening to this one towards the first beginning of 2024. In planning, we always plan. And as an entrepreneur, we're so stick to either our numbers, our marketing, our sales, our operations, and all of these things. We put it in a spreadsheet and then we forget. And this is so, that's why I so love this one when we had a conversation a while ago, is that I didn't even tell my husband that this is my goal, this is what will happen, and this is the activities in order for me to achieve this, is these are the things that will happen, right? So maybe vacations. And you actually had a simple example when you had your daughter asking you, or you had that when you shared that story, and if you can share that one again, just like planning, involving the family and also explaining why it needs to be done and not just brushing off. If you'd love to share about that, also one example, right? Especially when entrepreneurs has kids or maybe some spouses just needing that support or attention as well.
Yeah. So I have a daughter. She's 9. Her name's Quinn. And Quinn knows both her parents, both Jessica and I. She knows what we're working for. She knows that travel is a big thing for our family. All three of us love to travel. She's been in airports since she was 4, and she's getting to the point now where she likes to take us through the airport. Hey, we're going to baggage claim, and we just follow her. She loves it. So we've found something that we all love, and whether we're building a new business or we're working in a business that we're own now, we have a lot of conversations around, okay, we are doing this to have these things over here. But those were conversations. The last big move we made, we came to her and we said, hey, how we've functioned for the last couple of years is going to need to change. It's going to need to change. If we go this another direction, we're going to shut this business down and open up this new one. Here for the next year, things are not going to operate as they have been, but we want to do this so that we can still take this vacation, take that vacation. We love Disney. Disney's a big thing for her, and I'll be honest, I was pretty skeptical. I was not on board with Disney, but I love it now. So we like to go to Disney, and we said, okay, are you okay with cutting back on this and this, with dad traveling? I wasn't doing as much traveling in real estate. Now that I'm teaching and stuff, I'm going to be traveling I'll probably be traveling 8 or 9, 10 days a month. Are you okay with me being out of the house that long? And we had some back and forth, and there was some pushback. There were some times she was like, no, I'm not okay with that. And we talked through it. And Jessica and I had the same conversations. When we first started me speaking and doing these workshops, we set these big goals. Great. Oh, this is awesome. And then we got looking at it. We started with a money goal, but the money goal meant this many workshops. This many workshops meant this many days out of the house. And we both looked at that and went, we need to both be okay with this. Are you okay with it? And we changed that day. We changed that goal and then worked it back up. Okay, we're not okay with that much travel. We're okay with this much travel. So what other things are we going to have to include to still hit this goal? But this is non-negotiable. That's too much. Okay, now we're still going towards that big goal. And it's still a big goal, but we're working within the parameters of our balanced household.
So communication, getting everyone involved, not just because you're aiming to have your business climb the mountain and be successful, that you're not bringing along other people with you in your planning game. And it's so very important, I think. And your Quinn really getting that entrepreneurial spirit and also that ability to have the conversation. It's really just so nice to see and to have. And I'm so excited to see where she goes as well, right? Even at 9 years old, am I correct?
Yeah, she comes home about once a month with a different business idea right now.
Oh my gosh.
She's on some jewelry making, and last month it was a flower business, I believe. So we'll see what December comes up with, but she's got one that we're keeping under wraps. Mm-hmm. I think she'll actually do something with, and it'll be impactful. So I'm excited about that one. But
oh my goodness, I'm so excited. Maybe one day I can interview Quinn as well at the same
That'll be fantastic. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah. You know, now,
so going now, back to
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So a big example of what we're talking about, it happens a lot in the real estate world. Real estate agents will get together and they'll go to a goal setting class or a big training event, and they'll look at last year's numbers. Okay, we had this many transactions. This year, I want to do this many. And there's pressure to always be shooting for the stars and raising that number. And I see so many people set those goals and commit to them. I'm going to sell this many homes, have this many transactions, with no real concept of how that affects the family at home and no real conversation with, are you okay with the work that's going to need to be put in for this goal? Yes. And it's not fair. It's just not fair. It's not fair. It's okay to look at that goal and be like, okay, here's the goal. Okay, before I commit, I need to talk to the board of directors. I need to talk to anybody who has input into, or who's vested in that, or who's affected by that. And whether that's kids, spouse, caretaker, do grandma and grandpa help with the kids when mom and dad are working, or when parents are working? All those people need to be consulted before that's set in stone. This is the goal. Now, once you do all that, now it's on you to work on your business and go kill it there.
That is one of the key things, really, when we started a conversation, that it just gave me a pause in business planning and seeing, because in a year span, for example, if I go to conference, if I want to sign up for this in-person training, when I travel or when I'm doing like networking, which part does my husband gets involved in that might require also his commitment to help me out, right? So if I travel, then I know I already have two adult stepsons, right? So it's just me basically and my husband. But then what are the things that will involve? Or if he wants to go on a vacation, but I'm planning on something else, and now I'm stressed out because I did not communicate date with him. And then he's frustrated because I don't want to go travel as of the moment. So there's really a lot of things that was really eye-opener when we started talking about this, is just being involved. And the more I had that one, it's so funny because recently I found out that there's going to be a conference in Dallas, Texas, the days when my anniversary is. Like, oh no, I said, I so wanted to do this because it will fast track my idea. It will fast track everything. Now I have to have a conversation with my husband and explain with him if I do this, options, and just conversation and really planning things out. So there's really a lot of things involved. And by doing so and be more self-aware with what we've discussed, lets me not so stressed enough just because I'm talking things out now more clearly with my husband. And I think that is the key thing as well, because I always hear the concept like sacrifices we have to do in our business to make sure that our marriage is good. But I feel that a negative tone, like, why should we sacrifice things, right? Why don't we just make it like, yay, let's be all in the same boat, right?
That's the business of being the business owner. That's the benefit of being the entrepreneur, is you get to build it how you want it. Now, there's some outside forces and different things that affect it, but ultimately, you are the one that gets to say yes or no to all these different things, or I want it this way, or I want it that way, or I'm okay with this, or I'm not okay with this. You have that opportunity. And it all comes down to what we've talked about, is are we having the right conversations? And for a lot of people, starting to have those conversations can be really tough. It really can.
Yes.
But it's the more you have those conversations, the easier the next one becomes. And it just goes like that. When we were in real estate, we had a real estate coach. His name was Wayne Sammons. And he told my wife, the success of your business will be directly related to the amount of tough conversations you're willing to have. And I've taken that and put a big blank where it says business. So the success of your blank will be directly related to the amount of tough conversations you're willing to have. The success of your business, the success of your marriage, success of your relationship with your kids, relationship with your parents, or your just household in general. All right. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a sister, whatever it is. The more tough conversations you're willing to have, the more successful that thing's going to be. And those tough conversations will get easier and easier. In the beginning, in our relationship, like I said, Jessica and I didn't even live in the same city until we lived in the same house. So starting those tough conversations those first couple of years was insanely tough. I was scared to death to bring up things that I knew would be a conflict. Now we get together, I'm like, hey, time for a tough conversation. And we just get right into it. And we get into it, we figure it out. We go down through a structure of, okay, here's the situation, here's the fact, here's my role in it, here's the action plans going forward. Let's end with a plan, let's end with love between us, and let's move on. And that's all also part of the workshops as well. But
I just love it. I can't wait. That's why having that and the workshop that you provide would really be really helpful, especially with those tough conversation and tough topics that needs to be discussed.
When I come to your town, I'm calling you up and say, hey, I expect you to be there.
Yes, I'm so excited. Yes, I know you're coming. When will that be again? In Louisville, right? Do you have the details ready for that one?
No, not yet. It's on my list of trying to get there quarter two or quarter three of this year.
Wow, I'm just so excited for that one. One more topic. There's one thing that popped in my mind, because we're in the group at times with ladies having conversation and, oh my gosh, running a business can be so hard. I think one of the key things, especially because you came from a background of entrepreneur, W-2, if I'm correct, W-2, and then you became both entrepreneur. And sometimes there is going to be another top conversation, is that one is a little bit not maybe doing that great with the business and one is going good in the business. And sometimes, oh no, I'm not contributing that much, or that guilt again in conversation. Have you ever had that kind of conflict from your clients, or a situation with a couple that are both entrepreneurs and but at different stages in their business? How do you navigate that?
Yeah, Jessica and I were at this at one point. So when we were running the real estate business, Jessica was the CEO, and everything led to her. If something had a weak spot, ultimately it was her name on it, wherever that be. And she always felt a lot of pressure through that, if we weren't doing well, or if we needed to make changes on all these things, her big thing was, I don't want to let you down. I don't want to disappoint you. And I think if there's two people that are running two businesses and one feels they're not holding up the end of the bargain, or maybe it's a jealousy thing. Let's be honest.
It can happen.
Ego,
yes.
The male ego is bruises like a peach. And if that female is making more, then maybe that very delicate male ego of ours, guilty, plays, whatever that is, when there's an off balance or whatnot, what's helped us is we got really clear on what it would take to disappoint the other person. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is Jessica knows there's only two ways that she can disappoint me. Two ways. Everything else is okay. If you make a mistake, we figure it out and we go on. No one's perfect. No big deal. You take a risk and it doesn't work. Okay, let's figure out how to move on from there. But there's two ways for me. I tell her, there's any other mistake, anything, like, I'll be broke with you if it comes to that. I will sleep under a bridge with you if that's where we end up. But A, never stop swinging for the fence. I want you to always be swinging for the fence. No matter what we're doing, I want you to just keep swinging. And B, always be you. Don't swing for the fence trying to be this other person. I want you to be you and always swing for the fence. Anything else you do, I don't care where we're at, whether my business is going this way or your business is going this way, doesn't matter. So we got real clear on what it would take to disappoint the other. For her, hers is, she knows I have just a big heart to love people. She says, never stop loving people and don't stop being you the way you are. So it gives me the freedom. Like, I can, if I mess up or if a business is up and down, I'm not too worried because I know there's only two ways I can disappoint Jessica, A and B. Everything else, I just keep my head down, keep working, and keep going after. So it was big for us because it gave us so much freedom to live in limbo at times.
Yes. And that's where, again, communication, really being able to manage each other's, what are the things, identifying all of these things. Again, it goes through that vital step. And at times I know couples, different outlook, different kind of perspective. But when you just, again, the tough conversation, as you said, I'm guilty at times. Sometimes I'm doing the role play in your mind, thinking it's so tough. And then you just get rid of that. Or what do you call the one? Hide under the rug. Is that what it's saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're wondering, why I'm so stressed, or why is this? And then when you talk it out, your spouse is just like, oh, there's no issue at all. Yeah, that's, you know, everything is okay. So again, just going through in that conversation, being able to discuss all the hard things. Now, yeah, I know that,
there's in business, we use the term opportunity cost. If I go do that, I won't be able to go do this. So there's an opportunity. If I spend my money, so I spend my money here, I can't spend it over there. So I lose this. These tough conversations have an anxiety cost.
Yes.
How much anxiety am I building because I'm not willing to have that conversation? Have that conversation, drop the anxiety, because it is costing you. What is the anxiety cost of not having that conversation? And that's a concept. Once I started wrapping my head around that,
yes.
I think I heard from a podcast and I was like, I called Jessica. I was like, hey, there's a new term. I love it. It's great.
That is so true. Indeed. Like, anxiety can really kick in, and we are just like our worst enemy, because again, we're just keeping things, and rather than having that conversation, right? To
now, I'm a stewer. I stew. If I get something in my mind, then it leads. Then I think it's this. Then I think it's that. Then by the time I talk to Jessica, she's, wait a minute, you got here because I said this? And I look at it like, yeah, I did. My bad. She's like, why didn't you tell me? I was like, I chewed on it for a couple hours or a couple days or a week. And yeah, my bad.
That is so, that's just awesome. I just love this conversation. That's why for all our self-taught designer who are trying to navigate the creative world and building their business and maybe spouses trying to understand. Because I remember when the beginning, maybe first year, 2 years, where my husband just didn't know what it is that I was doing because I was not really communicating what it is. But when he saw a little bit of a success to it, and he told me, I could have let you resign much more earlier from your part-time job, right? Just like this. So make sure to just have that really conversation and involve the family and whoever is involved, right? So that they know where you are and you bring them with them, right? You bring them
Oh,
to where
especially
you
those
are
wins.
doing. Yep, those wins, because you don't want to be the only one celebrating your wins.
No, celebrate together. That's another view into your business. Hey, we just got this big account, or we just got this big deal. I just finished this big project. Look, celebrate together. That's big.
Yes. Yes, that's so true. And for the past 2 years, actually, I call my husband board of directors, and then my two stepson board of directors, and we had a good sale last year, 2 years in a row. And I treat everyone to a lovely New Year dinner, and then they start to understand because now, hey, I'm doing this because the business went good. Now they understand it, and now they're saying, "Where are we going this year?" I said, "Let me hold that thought because business is crazy right now, but we're gonna plan for something to celebrate still."
Yeah. Oh, it's a good concept. You start seeing, okay, you own your own business. Would it change your perspective and the perspective of the family? Anybody who is affected by your business, whether it be time away or income to the house or whatnot, if they're the board, like I said, you're accountable to them. Yeah, you're the
Yes.
CEO and you are running the business and you are the HR and the accountant and the marketer and their sales and production and all this. You are in charge of that, but you still answer to the board of directors.
Yes.
It creates, you want to communicate to the board. You want to be accountable to the board. You want to keep the board informed, but you're still making all the
The
decisions.
decisions.
That's a CEO board of directors dynamic.
There you go.
You have that as a entrepreneur.
Yes, yeah. And it's so fun when my husband said, "Yeah, we're gonna have a board meeting." Like, it's okay. It's just so amazing to have that conversation. It's still a work in progress for me, just navigating that and making sure that we're all on the same page with me and my spouse and where I would love to do, because he's still working the 9 to 5, right? Still in that path, and me building it for already years. So it's just really wonderful to have that conversation, that awareness as well. That's why I was so thankful when we had our first conversation. Kind of just like, yeah, I'm in the works of planning this next year. I should involve people because there will be times that I'll be in this four corners of the room and not getting out because I'm doing all the do, right? So now they clearly understand. Now, I love actually that you have the entrepreneurial. I love that one. But tell us a little bit more, like what is going on, what's next, what's exciting workshops that you're having, and if we have some awesome self-taught designers who want to dive into more and maybe bring their spouse as well as they navigate this journey of entrepreneurial world, how can they reach you and what are the things that you have in line?
Something for free. We talked about, I sent you a link. And so you're going to put it in the show notes. So there's an exercise we do in the workshop called a SWOT analysis. And that's SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Very common tool used in the business world. But this one is tailor-made from the business side, it's tailor-made towards a marriage. So I'd encourage anyone out there that is an entrepreneur, or if you're in that entrepreneurial, you and your spouse fill this out separately and then come together and discuss, what that looks like. So they can click on the link that you're going to provide, I believe, and you can get a free download of that. So that's a little piece of the workshop for free. And I hope it helps spur some awesome conversations out there. I'm going to be in Dallas for a couple of different events in January, so I'm excited about that. Going to be teaching down there and going to I'm going to be attending in a class down there, so I'm excited to do some learning there as well. Teaching around the Midwest, Kansas, Missouri, quarter one and first part of quarter two, and then hoping to do more and more speaking around the country. I got to teach in Alaska this summer.
Wow.
It was fantastic. It was amazing. It was beautiful. As very distracting to try to teach with these big open windows of mountains the whole time. But I had to turn my back to the windows to stay focused. But yeah, a lot of fun things coming up and some online things. But I'd say 95% of my content will be in person presentations, workshops. The main workshop we do is about a 3-hour interactive workshop.
Awesome. And all of these things, I hope that in person, there might be people in Dallas or elsewhere that you're going to be. They can find information in your website by any chance.
Yes. So KaylinHubbard.com, and you can reach out to me if you've got a group that you think would be a good group for me to come present to, get a hold of me there. I'm at Kaylin Speaks on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and YouTube and all the places out there. You can find some content with little snippets of some of that material, but yeah, I'd love to reach out and talk to anybody out there that's got groups that they see this being a good fit for. That's good for anybody who's running their own show. And spouses are encouraged. Someone sent me a message yesterday. I'm going to teach a class around them. And she asked, can my husband come? Absolutely. It's not a requirement, but spouses are very much encouraged to attend as well.
That's awesome. So make sure to check out the show notes of all the links of Kaylin so that you can reach out. And if you have any group that, again, would love to invite him speak, and I'm actually excited as well. We were discussing behind the scene that he might be in Kentucky one of the months for next year, for 2024. So I'm so excited to actually meet you in person and have a conversation. Thank you so much for giving us your expertise. I've really learned a lot. And I do hope all of our awesome self-taught designers learn something. And if you have, please make sure to follow Kaylin as well as download and subscribe to our show, because you are truly going to get more of this amazing guest expert, and he will not be the only male guest that we're going to have. So if you have more friends, Kaylin,
first
send him. Yes. First of many. Awesome. Yes. You have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for tuning in. And there we have it, another episode diving deep into the world of self-taught designer. We truly hope these stories and insight continue to inspire and fuel your creative journey. Remember, every professional was once an amateur, and every expert began as a beginner. A big thanks to our guests, sponsors, and especially you, our listener. Your support makes every episode a new adventure. If you find value in today's discussion, consider sharing this podcast with a friend, subscribe, or leave us a review. Your feedback that only help us grow, but also reach out more self-taught designers out there. So stay curious, keep pushing those boundaries, and always trust in your unique design journey. I'm Joanna, and this has been the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. See you next time.